Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We've read all the books, we've bought all the courses, we've tried all the tactics, all in search of the secret to growth and scaling. So now let's take a different path. It's not risk-free, it's not guaranteed, but when done correctly, it produces one winner after another. Today, we're going to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ. If you're a busy executive who's getting pulled in too many directions and wish you could get the lower level tasks off your plate, we recruit, place, and train a virtual assistant into your business in as little as 7 days, and we'll even manage them for you on a daily basis so you can stay focused on what you do best. To learn more about how you can get your time back and save up to 70% versus hiring locally, go to VAIQ.net. Today's guest is Alexander Svetsky. He is the author of the best-selling Uncommunist Manifesto, The Bushido of Bitcoin, and The Bitcoin Times. In 2018, he launched the world's first Bitcoin-only savings app, Amber, and recently open-sourced the first Bitcoin LLM, The Spirit of Satoshi. He is now building Satlantis, the best event app in the world. Alexander, welcome to the show. I have one question for you. What is one thing you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
Thank you for having me on, Josh. One thing I do better than anyone else is I can take complex concepts and ideas and distill them into something digestible, simple, understandable, etc. So that's what I did in Bitcoin. That's the skill that I've leveraged in business all my life. I'm usually the guy, I'm a very product-oriented CEO, so I can translate between devs, designers, sales, go-to-market, admin, operations, all of these sorts of things. So I guess I would say I'm a master translator of complex ideas and concepts.
So many of us get stuck in the details and the weeds, going down rabbit holes, trying to figure out the calculus when we don't have the basic arithmetic down. And so what are some ways that we can think about how to translate these amazing amount of information that's coming towards us? How do we distill that down to only the essential things that really matter right now?
I mean, that's a hard question because I actually think it involves some of what you mentioned about going into the weeds. I think you somewhat have to spend your 20s messing around in the weeds so that you can develop a sixth sense towards, how to distill things, because life is this constant game of explore, which is you sort of go wide and you get in the weeds and you waste a lot of time and then you exploit. So you kind of like the brain is this operating system which learns, well, in fact, the whole body is an operating system that's learning all of the time, right? And this is why sort of language models and AI and all this sort of nonsense is never going to be as powerful a learner as a human, because we learn through multiple different senses in very, very complex ways. But what we do is we kind of take in all of this data, we crunch it consciously and subconsciously, and then we kind of take the mass and we end up distilling it. And different people do that better. Some people do it more consciously than unconsciously. Some people are really talented. Some people have the capacity to do that really naturally. I got like some autistic friends who can take all these major concepts and like turn it into, a one-liner and they get it, right? Some people don't have that. Some people just don't have that genetically, biologically, whatever, right? They're just not wired that way. But to answer your question, like how can we do that on a more regular basis? I think it involves one, understanding that the Pareto principle exists. So oftentimes amongst the mass of information that there will be some segment or fragment of it that is more important than everything else, and doing your best to discover what that is, and training yourself to constantly look for that 20% is going to be really important. But then, yeah, number two is like there's no substitute for doing the reps. People think that there's some sort of shortcut to becoming a savant or someone who can do all of these sorts of things, and then they, want to shortcut their way through life in everything. But there isn't. Like reps, 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 reps get you there in the end.
It's interesting you bring that up. You can take an average performer and turn them into an elite performer simply by having them doing enough reps, and with the right guidance, of course.
Yeah, it's not practice makes perfect, it's perfect practice makes perfect.
That's right. And elite athletes, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Kobe Bryant, even some of the old school guys like Larry Bird, these guys were at the top of their game. Some maybe still are. And they go to the gym and they take their shots and they get their shots in. They make Larry Bird made like 500 three-pointers before he would leave the gym. And that was what gave him the edge, because he made sure that he put in those reps because he needed to know, how does it feel to get this right? Even though I already got it right, I need to keep constantly reinforcing that. And you're right about, hey, in your 20s, you kind of got to wander around in the weeds to know what the weeds look like so that
Yeah, because you
later
don't
you
know
can
the
stay out
difference.
of
Yeah,
them.
exactly. Yeah, totally. Totally. You got to make those mistakes. I think that's one of the things, a lot of people talk about, in the entrepreneurial circles, oh, you got to fail, you got to fail, but they don't sort of tell you why you have to fail. The reason you have to fail is so that you can develop the pattern recognition to sort of know where the line is and what's wrong and what's messed up and what's stupid and what's smart and all that sort of stuff. So you got to have a background to have a foreground, and that's really the reason for failing. It's not just building thick skin and all those ancillary benefits matter as well, but that's, in my opinion, like the no knowing what the flame feels like is important.
Well said. And so, speaking of knowing what the flame feels like, there has been investing in Bitcoin specifically has been an up and down roller coaster over the last 10, 15 years. What
Since the
are
beginning.
some of the ways that somebody like can hold through that set of flames?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's understanding what Bitcoin is, right? So people treat Bitcoin as an investment, and what they need to do is do the reading, do the understanding of, like, Bitcoin is not an investment, Bitcoin is money. So it's the thing you trade your investments for, right? So the only number that counts is not how much my Bitcoin went up or down, it's how much Bitcoin do I have. It is the only commodity, monetary construct, whatever you want to call it. It's the only asset, if let's give it that word. It's the only asset that exists on planet Earth that is fixed and finite in supply. And it has the best attributes for money. So good money is divisible, portable, recognizable, homogeneous, portable, and scarce. Nothing can compete with Bitcoin across those dimensions, which means at some point over the next decade, 3 decades, 10 decades, it will become the global money that everyone everywhere in the world uses. And if you have that coupled with the fact that you have a finite supply, and you realize that all of the capital, every single thing on the planet, from the computer we're talking on, to the car we're driving, to the house we live in, to every single stock, every single company, every single bit of gold, every single bit of money, everything in the world will be measured in Bitcoin. If you sort of get that through your head, what you realize is that, one Bitcoin will be enough to buy the city of Dallas in the next 100 years, right? Like, not a fucking building, I'm talking about, and not a block, like the whole city of Dallas. So the game becomes not how do I make money out of Bitcoin? The game becomes how do I acquire more Bitcoin before the rest of the world wakes up, because at some point we will all be on a Bitcoin standard. So when you sort of flip that script, you realize that the ups and downs and the round and circle doesn't mean anything. All that is a reflection of the current macro understanding. And when I say macro, I don't mean markets. I mean the collective understanding of humanity of what this thing actually is. 99.9% of people could not tell you or could not give you an accurate definition of money, let alone what Bitcoin is and why it's better money. But in time, with the stickiness of Bitcoin and the fact that it doesn't change, and as time passes, it continues to grow in economic mass, more and more people will choose to put a portion of their total wealth in this thing. And as I said, it's finite in supply, so it's always going to go up and to the right. So if you kind of get that through your head, then the game doesn't, the ups and downs don't matter anymore. The downs are actually good because it gives you an opportunity to acquire more Bitcoin from the dumbasses that are selling.
There you go. Understood. And something just occurred to me as you were talking about this. I've seen enough post-apocalyptic movies to at least ask about it. Like, let's just assume an entire breakdown. Bitcoin is mostly electronic, and exchanged electronically. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's because that's the best medium by which to transmit messages. Yeah.
Okay. So what happens if everything collapses and there's no way to access it?
I mean, you better have lead bullets and chickens, because then, then your bank's not going to work. Gold is going to be useless. Property is going to be useless. Everything is useless. So at that point, it doesn't matter. The good thing about Bitcoin is that the network just pauses. So as soon as power and everything comes back, Bitcoin just continues. So, the sort of the apocalyptic argument is, sort of you got to place a probability on that. If you think 50% likely that that's going to happen, then you should probably keep just 50% of your wealth in Bitcoin, and then the other 50% in lead bullets, guns, and chickens, right? If you think it's a 5% chance that that happens, then you sort of act accordingly. And then sort of the second layer to that is, how probable is that to happen? But then how probable is it for humanity to remain in that state for the next, for the foreseeable future? So it's like Bitcoin doesn't just go away. Like the ledger, the set of transactions live on hundreds of thousands of nodes around the world. So all that happens is if the communication medium is cut, apart from planes falling out of the sky and every fucking other thing that'll happen, right? Bitcoin just sort of pauses. And then, when the global internet sort of comes back on, then off we go again. So it's very resilient in that case. I guarantee you Chase and all that sort of shit fucking won't be around. So, they got bigger problems than Bitcoin.
Got it. And so, who do you serve, and where's the best place to connect and learn more?
Yeah, so right now we are building what I humbly consider the best events app on the planet. So think Eventbrite. Kind of meets meetup.com, so it's almost got like a it's like a, it's an event platform with a community layer. Maybe instead of meetup.com, I should say it's like Eventbrite meets School or Circle or something like that. So you can build a community, run events, and you can get paid in Bitcoin. Simple as that. So it's got a Bitcoin wallet built in, and it means that anyone anywhere in the world can spin up an event in 5 minutes, spin up ticketing, run an event, build a community, and do stuff. So I'm serving event hosts, event organizers, community builders, and if they want to find us, satlantis.io. So it's like Atlantis, the lost city, with an S at the front. So it's a bit of a nod to Satoshi, the founder of Bitcoin. Or, I mean, I'm no longer active on socials, but I still have accounts. Like my Twitter account is out there under Svetsky Writes. But yeah, that's where they can find me.
Excellent. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Alexander Svetsky, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom. For those of you who want to learn more about the Bitcoin-focused app, you can go to satlantis.io. And once again, if you are a busy entrepreneur who needs to get out of the weeds, we'll place a professional virtual assistant in as little as 7 days. You can learn more at vaiq.net. Till next time, remember this, if you want to win, push your chips in.